Chapter 18. They split their land at Orange Grove into plots and sold them, all but 100 acres, and on that they started building a house. Into the designing of it, they poured their combined energy and imagination. With money, Duff seduced the horticulturalist of the Cape Town Botanical Gardens and brought him up by express coach. They showed him the land. "Make me a garden," said Duff. "The whole 100 acres? "Yes. It'll cost a pretty penny." "That is no problem." The carpets came from Persia, the wood from the Canissa forests, and the marble from Italy. On the gates at the entrance to the main drive, they engraved the words, "At Xanadu did Kublai Khan a stately pleasure dome decree." As the gardener had predicted, it all cost a pretty penny. Each afternoon, when the exchange closed, they would drive up together and watch the builders at work. One day Candy came with them, and they showed it off to her like two little boys. "This'll be the ballroom," Sean bowed to her. "May I have the pleasure of this dance?"
"Thank you, sir."
She curtsied, then swept away on his arm across the unsanded boards. "This will be the staircase," Duff told her. "Marble. Black and white marble. And there, on the main landing, in a glass case, will be Hradsky's head, beautifully mounted with an apple in his mouth." They climbed, laughing, up the rough concrete ramp. "This is Sean's room. The bed is being made of oak, thick oak, to withstand punishment." They trooped with linked arms down the passage. "And this is my room. I was thinking of a solid gold bath, but the builder says it's too heavy, and Sean says it's too vulgar. Look at that view. From here you can see out across the whole valley. I could lie in bed in the mornings and read the prices on the exchange floor with a telescope."
"It's lovely," Candy said dreamily.
"You like it?"
"Oh, yes."
"It could be your room, too." Candy started to blush, and then her face tightened with annoyance.
"He was right. You are vulgar."
She started for the door, and Sean fumbled for his cigars to cover his embarrassment. With two quick steps, Duff caught her and turned her to face him.
"You sweet idiot, that was a proposal." "Let me go."
Near to tears, she twisted in his hands.
"I don't think you're funny."
"Candy, I'm serious. Will you marry me?" The cigar dropped out of Sean's mouth, but he caught it before it hit the ground. Candy was standing very still, her eyes fastened on Duff's face. "Yes or no? Will you marry me?" She nodded once slowly, then twice very fast. Duff looked at Sean over his shoulder. "Leave us, laddie." On the way back to town, Candy had regained her voice. She chattered happily, and Duff answered her with his lopsided grin. Sean hunched morosely in one corner of the carriage. His cigar was burning unevenly, and he threw it out of the window. "You let me keep the Victoria rooms, I hope, Candy?" There was a silence. "What do you mean?" asked Duff.
"Two's company," Sean answered.
"Oh, no," Candy exclaimed.
"It's your house as well," Duff spoke sharply.
"I give it to you, a wedding present."
"Oh, shut up," Duff grinned. "It's big enough for all of us."
Candy crossed quickly to Sean's seat and put her hand on his shoulder.
"Please, we've been together a long time. We'd be lonely without you."
Sean grunted.
"Please."
"He'll come," said Duff.
"Please."
"Oh, well."
Sean frowned ungraciously.